Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
For that ministry or for that church or whatever it is, and we're going to say, man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that was a part of our story. And so as we head into the year 2020, we've been talking about this 2020 vision around here. And I debated on this. You know, it's like, oh, it's a hurricane Sunday, and not a lot of people are going to be here. But I just felt like I'm just kind of going to roll with this, especially because the text that I'm using today is a little bit different than what I'd originally planned. And just kind of through the events of the week, this text has kind of jumped off the page at me. And so I want to invite you to turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. You know, as I said, weather events seem to shape our lives, and it's the same way with the Israelites. It seems like water has a major impact on the lives of God's people there in the Old Testament. Think about it. I mean, there are all sorts of stories that revolve around God's people, the Israelites, and water, and it's been these moments around water that have had the biggest and the most impact on their lives. So look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. This is a very popular or familiar story to you. We get to this text, and the Israelites, they find themselves at the Red Sea. And just to kind of give you a little backstory, the Israelites have been in Egypt for several hundreds of years, for several generations. They had favor with Egypt when Joseph was there, when he was in charge, when he had a high position there with the government. They had favor with them, but they began to multiply. Man, those Israelites, they began to produce offspring, and their offspring began to produce offspring. And it really kind of scared the Egyptians. And so before, as a turn of events, the Israelites now find themselves in captivity. They find themselves in bondage, enslaved. And so God calls to Moses and says, Moses, I want to go. I want you to go, and I want you to set my people free. I want you to deliver my people from the hands of the Egyptian Pharaoh. And after some hem-hauling around, Moses decides to do that. You guys ever hem-hauled around with God? Don't say that you haven't, because you have. If you say no, then you may be currently hem-hawing with God, okay? And then we can figure that out too here in a little bit. So Moses, he agrees, he goes in, and if you know the story, there's a series of plagues. Moses comes in, says, hey, set my people free. Pharaoh's like, no, that's not going to happen. There's a series of plagues. I mean, frogs and locusts and, I mean, all sorts of just calamity that falls upon the Egyptian Pharaoh. So finally, Pharaoh says, fine, get them out of here. Get them out of here. And you know, it's interesting. So they all right, let's go. It's interesting the direction that God gives Moses. Look at verse 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Now here's the thing. When you look at scripture, biblical archaeology tells us that they could have gone a different route. They could have gone through the land of the Philistines, actually, and have been a little bit shorter route. But for some reason, the Lord specifically tells Moses, hey, I want you to go this way. And see, what happens is Pharaoh, he knows the direction that they went, and he's thinking, oh, well, this will be easy. They're going to get trapped by the sea. I mean, you guys ever caught this? That the Lord is purposely putting them in a position where they're going to be trapped between the sea and the Egyptian army. And I don't feel like, I'm convinced that this happens because the Lord is about to do something great. He's about to do something big, and he wants everyone to know that this exodus, that this deliverance from Pharaoh has nothing to do with Moses, has nothing to do with anything but him. And we're about to see God do something big. We're about to see God do something significant and huge where everybody will know that was the hand of the one true God, Yahweh. And so he's about to do something that he will get the glory for. He's going to do something, and everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know that it is God who gets the glory, not Pharaoh. You see, because this was in a time where, man, Pharaoh was this godlike figure. I mean, to the Egyptian people, you know, Pharaoh, he made the sun and the moon go up and down. I mean, he did all of these things. And God's going to come along and say, no, I'm going to make sure if the plagues didn't convince you, I'm going to make sure I'm doing something that everybody knows that it is the one true God, amen, Yahweh, who is the true deliverer. Amen. So Pharaoh lets him go, and they head that way, and as you read through Scripture, kind of Pharaoh kind of begins to second guess himself. Scripture says that truthfully, God hardened his heart. And he realizes, that's it. I should not have given in. Let's go. Let's go grab those Israelites. Let's go get them back. Let's look at verses 10 and 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said, Moses. Do you think at this point, Moses is tired of hearing his name yet? It's probably still a little early. But as you get through the book of Exodus, I think there comes a point where Moses probably feels like the mom or the dad whose kid has been calling their name like all day long. Daddy, 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 look at this. Daddy, daddy, look at this. Sorry, I'm getting a little personal. I'm now the only one has a son. Dad, look at this. They cried and terrified out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out to Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So the Israelites, they were enslaved. They saw God work in just enormous ways through the plagues. They saw God work, how Pharaoh released him, and now they feel the pressure. They have the Red Sea here, and they see Pharaoh's army marching towards them, and all of a sudden they begin to, hey, let's backpedal. And folks, I'm convinced as a church, I think we're at a moment where we're looking at the Red Sea and we're looking at our past. And I believe God wants us to keep on going forward. God wants us to keep on moving forward to do new things, to embark in new ministries, new ways, new methods. And if we're not careful, what's on the other side of the Red Sea can scare us, and we'll say, let's just go back to how we used to do it. I know that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That's really how the Israelites find themselves. They say, whoa, hey. Being enslaved is bad, but hey, at least you got three squares and a shelter. You know? At least I know what I'm getting into. I have no idea what I'm getting into this way. And so that's the mindset that the Israelites get in. And so as a church, as we're moving forward, man, this text really just, it just came off the page to me this week. Like, this could be framed and seen through the lens of a church wanting to move forward, wanting to follow God into some unknowns. And I'm thankful, I really am, that overall, man, this is a church that when we say, hey, let's go across the Red Sea, 99.99% of us are going to be like, yeah, let's go. Let's roll. And the 0.9 who don't want to go, well, they're kind of quiet anyway, so we don't know if they're mad or not. So it's all good. So the question is, are you ready to watch the Lord work, or do you want to turn around? This could apply to your personal life, not just the corporate life of the church. What are you facing? What Red Sea are you facing that the Lord's saying, take that leap, go forward? And the question for you is, do you want to trust the Lord or do you want to turn back and just go into what you know? Because you're scared of what the Lord is trying to lead you to. And I love verses 13 and 14. I've studied this. Everyone knows the Exodus story. The Red Sea crossing. One of the most pivotal moments in the biblical story. I'm telling you guys. If you do not, you have to under, Exodus sets the whole picture for the rest of the biblical story. If you study Revelation, you're going to see the Exodus story. You're going to see images of that. So I've studied this, and we've all been familiar with it. I was a children's quizzer that studied the book of Exodus. So I'm very familiar with it. But these, verses 13 and 14 just came off of the page this week. And Moses answered the people. He gives them a couple action steps to take. It says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. I love this. You need only to be still. Turn to your neighbor and say, be still. That's right. I'm going to use that in a board meeting one day. Verse 14. You need only to be still. Just kidding. He says, do not be afraid. You see, for the people of God, in one suffering situation after another, this is a word of assurance. God is at work on their behalf. Moses is saying, guys, calm down. It's okay. Don't be afraid. The God who has been at work on our behalf to bring us to this point will continue to be at work on our behalf. The God who has been at work on Camden Nazarene's behalf the last 70 plus years will continue to work on our behalf as we move forward. He says to stand firm. They need to hold fast and stand firm because God is about to do something that will shape their story. God's about to do something here that they're going to look back for all generations. We today, we're still looking back at that story because it has shaped our lives as believers today. So he says, stand firm. God, he's about to do something big. You see, because up to that point, it has been Pharaoh's actions that had shaped the Israelite story for the last couple hundred years anyway. And Moses says, stand firm. It's about to change. It's about to change. Your story is going to be impacted by the one true God. Just hold on. Here we go. He said, God's going to bring you deliverance. He's going to bring you salvation. You see, God is about to change their whole world and do something that will only affect them in that moment, but will not only affect them in that moment, but will affect them for generations to come. You see, the Red Sea crossing was the ultimate sign that God was indeed salvation. God was indeed deliverer, not Pharaoh, but God. This event around this body of water is about to shape their story forever. Then he says, the Lord will fight. See, salvation is going to come not by anything that they're going to do. You see, because anything worth happening has to happen through God. Amen. Anything that this church wants to be involved in, any way this church wants to move forward, if it's worth us being a part, then God's going to have to come and do it. Now, we're going to participate with them. We're called to be active. We're called to be the hands and feet. I'm not saying that we're going to sit here and just wait on God to do something. Amen. But what I'm saying is, anything that we can do on our own power, and you've heard me say this, it's not worth doing. Man, we want to be about all the things that when you look back, you're like, wow, that was God. That's what's going to happen to the Israelites. They're going to get across the Red Sea. And they're going to look back and they're going to be like, wow, that was God. Amen. Unfortunately, as you get back, if you get into the book of Exodus, they quickly forget that, right? And then probably my favorite one here, keep still. Keep still. Now, when I look at this, when you really kind of drill down into some of the original language here, and you look at the overall story of the Bible, I don't think this is much of a, it's not much of a command to not move a muscle. I believe it's a word simply to keep silent. So it's not saying just do this, but it's saying be still and watch the Lord work. Basically, Israel's words and their deeds will have no bearing on what's about to happen. So they've cried out to Moses. Moses tells them, hey, stand firm. God's going to fight for us. Be still. And then I love this. I just wish I could go back in time. I love the relationship that Moses has with God. You know, it's sometimes you hear sarcasm, you know, in there. And this is it, verse 15. Then the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. You know, it's like God's like, how many times do I got to prove to you that I got this? Hurry up. And I think it's a sign that Moses needs to lead, not complain. Amen. Moses needs to keep on moving. He needs to lead, not complain. And so Moses, he stretches out his arms, and the waters part. And if you've seen the Charlton Heston version, or if you've seen The Prince of Egypt, I mean, it's just a magnificent scene. You get this image of just these wall of waters that are to the right and to the left, and Israelites moving forward. And you guys realize this could have been a several day event. I mean, at this point, Israelites, that's a lot of people. All right, it ain't just about 30 people going across the watery river. You know, this is a lot of people that are moving across here. And, you know, and you got fancy biblical archaeologists who like to say, well, you know, that part of the Red Sea, that was the Delta region. And, you know, it really wasn't that, deep, wasn't that wide, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Guess what? I don't care. Amen. Because the point of the story is not how deep or how wide the Red Sea was. The point of the story is they were pressed with Pharaoh on this side and God delivered them. That's the point of the story, that God is our deliverer, that God is our salvation. And it is a story that shapes our lives. So they get across. Very quickly, the Pharaoh's army, they realize what's happening. In fact, Scripture even says something to the effect of, hey, God's working in their behalf. Let's get out of here, you know, and of course, it's too late. They get to the other side, and you can see evidence of how the story has shaped their lives. It says, but the Israelites went through the sea on the dry ground with wall of water on their right, on their left. Verse 30, that day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against them, against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. It's a story that shapes our lives. Water always seems to always shape the lives of God's people. Waters represent chaos. They represent trouble in the biblical story. So it's interesting that while water represents chaos and trouble, water is also some of the most defining moments in Israel's history. This won't be the last time that a body of water will be a defining moment in Israel's history. They're going to cross another river here again in their future, if you would read on. You fast forward. Water has a significant impact on the world. When Jesus comes onto the scene, he comes onto the scene, and when you get that baptism image where Jesus goes down to the waters and he comes back up, and the Lord says, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." Again, water, a defining moment for God's people, a moment in which they will look back and say, "This was the beginning. This was the beginning of deliverance, of salvation." And so you see that in Jesus as he comes up out of the waters. He's like, Let's go. His ministry begins. the disciples. Water shaped their story there in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus has been, he's been teaching, and he tells the disciples, hey, you guys, get on the boat and go ahead that way. I'm going to go up in the mountain and pray. And night falls, and Jesus being Jesus, he said, well, you know, I guess I could call him in, but hey, let me just walk out there, and I'll just go get in the boat with him. You know, you wonder, again, I want to be there. What's he thinking? Is he thinking, hey, watch this. They're going to get a kick out of this. I don't know. But he walks out, you know, and they're like, oh, it's a ghost. You know, what's going on? Jesus says in verse 27, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I guarantee you that's a story that the disciples retold. I know it's not in the book of Acts where they told the story. I realize that. But I guarantee you that when they sit around the table, hey, you guys remember that time when Jesus walked on water? Peter, you remember when you went out there and you sank, man? You really failed that test. But my point is, it was a defining moment. They looked at, and it was a moment of many moments where they were assured that Jesus was their deliverer, that take courage, do not be afraid, I'm here. The children, another lesson today was you know, the storm on the sea and Jesus coming and calming the storms. Again, another moment that shaped their story. And so I believe it's time for us as a church, time for us to be still and watch the Lord lead us through some waters into another defining moment for our church. We can turn back or we can keep on going. We can turn back or we can keep on going. So I want to end this way. I've got a, again, not a good thing to do this because we're missing like 3/4 of our people. But hey, maybe I'll preach this sermon again next week and we'll do it all over again. I don't know. It's always better the second time anyway. I've got a vision card. We've been talking about vision the last couple of weeks, and you've been hearing different things about giving, about prayer, and the emphasis on this, emphasis on going out and being part of our schools, and also serving, all sorts of things, planning a new church. And really, you've heard these things, but we haven't really given you opportunity to take action. And so I'd like to end this way. I'm going to put these here at the altar. And forgive me for it being on paper and not cardstock, but it's a card that just kind of says 2020 vision, 170 in worship attendance, regular mission trips, projects, 10 volunteers in our schools, plant church. And then on the back, it's got sections for you to respond. I will commit to spend time in the prayer room. So we have a prayer room now. It's opened up every Sunday morning. Y'all, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to pray about it, okay? It's just, it ain't going to happen. So make it a matter of prayer. So commit time to spend time. And so you can check all of these or just a la carte, you know, whatever. Commit to spend time in the prayer room. Commit to tithing. We preached on tithing a few weeks ago and felt like it didn't give you much time to respond other than just, hey, guys, this, if we're going to move forward, a part of moving forward is being obedient to the Lord. And so some of you may not have committed to tithing yet. Maybe that's a spiritual step you haven't taken yet, but you need to take it. And so it could be this is how you respond. You say, I want to commit to tithing. Or I want to commit to give to the Great and Awesome campaign. Haven't talked much about that, but you know, we had a campaign 2 years ago, and we've been raising money to try to help pay for what's been done here on our facilities. Maybe you were not here 2 years ago and you're thinking, oh, great, opportunity to give. I've been looking for something like that. And so now you can. Give extra towards global missions. Be a part of, and this is a big one. Be a part of an Elgin small group. So that group could turn into a church. Again, we talked about last week with Brandon Amanda. We're just making ourselves available to the Lord to say, hey, we're ready. Do with us what you will. But maybe if you live on that side of the county, you're thinking, hey, yeah, I'll join some sort of Elgin small group and be open to the Lord letting that turn into to church. Volunteer in our schools. So you want to check that one and show up Thursday at Jackson School, right? And then just commit to serving. And you can put your name on it. You can leave it here because I'm not going to, I just want to pray over these things. I want to see names and see who is committing to what, and I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that the Lord will give you strength, will give you perseverance as you do these things that you feel like the Lord has called you to do. And so that's how we're going to end. These cards are up here on the altar. We'll do something similar to this next Sunday. So if you feel like you just want to pray on it some more, that's fine. But come and take a card. You can take it back to your seat or you can pray over it. But just check one or all, whatever you feel like the Lord's leading you to do. You've heard, if you've been here every Sunday the last 6 weeks, man, you've heard all sorts of messages and you're probably thinking, I want to take action. Well, this is how you take action. I want to say a quick word of prayer for us and then we'll play some music and then allow people to come up and just take one of these cards and fill it out, pray over it, leave it on the altar. Let's stand. Father, we're thankful, Lord. We're thankful for your call. We're thankful, Lord, that when you do call us, Lord, we know that we can depend on you. Lord, we know that, Lord, that you will see us through. And Lord, we feel like right now is one of those defining moments in our church's history. And Lord, help us. Lord, help us to cross the Red Sea. Help us to move forward so we can look back and say, you know what? Man, that was a moment that defined us. That was a moment that was a part of our church. And Lord, in the next few minutes, as we just spend time responding, Lord, I pray that you would help us, give us clarity of mind. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come forward as you feel led. We'll sing
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for me to trust. Just to take him at his word, and I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me too.
To come on back and put on the altar, that's fine. If you feel like you just want to take it home and spend time with it in your devotional life this week, that's fine. But over the next few weeks, I felt like it was important that we begin to identify folks who feel the Lord leading them to be a part in a tangible way of our 2020 vision. Let's sing that next verse. What you got, Justin?
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust. sin and self to see, just from Jesus simply take life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how
Let's pray. As a reminder, we want to be remembering the family of this county employee that lost his life in the early morning. So, Father, we are thankful, Lord, that we can trust You. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that when You call us, You are faithful to fulfill the calling in us. Lord, the journey may not always look like what we think it should look like or what we expect, but Lord, You will fulfill this promise in us. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Father, I pray for these cards that have been placed here, some that people may still have, but Lord, I pray that in the next coming weeks, Lord, as we kind of understand where people are and where they are with us on this vision, Lord, that together, Lord, that we want to move forward in faith, move forward in areas of our lives. And so, Father, I'm thankful for those who have responded. Lord, I pray that this week that You will encourage them. Lord, I pray that for some, they may have checked a box, Lord, that a lot of faith for them. Lord, I'm praying that You will give them that faith this week. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that You will give them this assurance, Lord, that this step of faith, Lord, that You are with them. And Lord, that they will see signs of that. Father, we pray for this county employee, Lord, that I learned earlier this morning that had lost his life tragically through a car accident. And Lord, I pray for this family, Lord, that has received this news today. And Father, we lift that family up to You in prayer. Lord, we think about all the families all over the East Coast that were affected by Hurricane Florence. Father, Lord, I pray for those in New Bern, North Carolina, and Wilmington, North Carolina, there on the Crystal Coast, Father, those in Myrtle Beach and coming on inland into our state. Lord, I pray for those families who have been impacted. Lord, we pray for those first responders, those law enforcement officers, those firemen, Father, those county emergency officials, Lord, who have been on the clock, around the clock, Lord, the last 48 hours, last 2 or 3 days, Father. Lord, would You give them strength, Father? Lord, I pray that if there are needs within our local community, Lord, that we would be the first one to step up and help our neighbor. We pray for churches that have been impacted, Lord, as a result of this. We lift them up to You in prayer. Lord, we love You. We thank You for what You're going to do, Father, because we know that when You're involved, great things are going to happen as we follow You in this journey. Lord, we love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said together, amen, amen. Thank you for being here on this Hurricane Sunday.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.